We are very happy to have. He's the head coach of the St. Louis Blues, and of course is one of the original idea makers, founders of what was then Hockey Central, which is now Sports Central in Edmonton. Ken Hitchcock joins us. Hitch, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Not good, Jace. How about yourself?
Hey, I'm doing excellent. A big day today is Todd McLellan takes over as the ambassador for a program, Ken, that you were really, a huge part of from the get-go. I want to do a quick little history lesson for maybe people who don't know. How did you and Wilf, where did the idea come up to start what was back then? I think it was called Hockey Central.
Yeah, it started in Philadelphia, Jason,
okay,
where Wilf had come to watch our team play when I turned pro in 1990. And I was telling him about this organization that was giving out free equipment to the underprivileged kids in Philadelphia. And so we went and looked at it, and, Wilf kind of took the idea from there. And we saw what the partnership between manufacturers and volunteers could do to help inner-city kids. And then we passed it on, and it was really for... It started out for mostly Edmonton youth, and then obviously it passed on to, now you're into the territories in northern Alberta and some of central Alberta also. So it really started with Wilf's visit to watch the Flyers play.
Oh, wow. It's such a cool thing, Ken. And, it's expanded, maybe bigger than your guys' original dreams thought. You have to be pretty proud of being a part of something. It's helped so many kids over the years. And a lot of kids who have been through the program who ended up going on, as far as junior and even as some NCAA and CIS.
Yeah, I think it's that's what's really impressive. It's not only giving kids a chance to play, but it's giving kids a chance to grow and move into AA and AAA programs and stuff like that. And they'd never have that opportunity before, Jace. It wouldn't be possible. And I think that's what we're really proud of, is it kept kids in the game. It allowed them to play and then to see kids grow and get an education or in some terms turn pro off of this is really, really the icing on the cake. And I think that we're really proud. The other thing that really helped us was the cooperation between the city police and the city fire departments, that they became the drop-off spots for a lot of the equipment early on. And the guys and girls there were so cooperative. They helped us so much in transporting the stuff into the warehouses and things like that. It was really was such a sense of cooperation between law enforcement and firefighters and the volunteers. It really forged a partnership. And I think, quite frankly, with the cooperation of the police led to the bike division that's so big right now, where, they refurbish bikes and all the mechanics that volunteer their time to help out. It's really made it into a multi-sport facility.
Ken Hitchcock, head coach of the St. Louis Blues and former ambassador of Sports Central. I know you'll still definitely have some say in it a little bit, Ken. It's something that's near and dear to your heart. Why was it important for you? Because Todd McLellan told me you reached out to him when he became the head coach of the Oilers and to see if he was interested in being a part of this.
Well, I just felt like the profile had to stay strong. And you couldn't get a better guy than Todd. He's generous. He's family-oriented. He's really gracious with his time for causes, and I just think you couldn't get a better guy to do it on a more regular basis. With us competing against you guys, I'm not there very often unless we come in last night and get our asses kicked like we did. But you need somebody there that can be the voice, and between Speck and him, I think you got two great ambassadors, two guys that really have this close to their heart, and I think they're going to make this program bigger and better than ever, which is really, really impressive.
Hitch, I think one of the most impressive things about you was, you got started here, really grassroots. You're one of the rare guys who's an NHL head coach who didn't play professional hockey, who didn't play in the National Hockey League. And I think still really a guy that a lot of other coaches who are like that aspire to be and give them hope that you can be like that. But ever since you left Edmonton, you went to Dallas, you've been gone for a long time. You've always remained very loyal to Edmonton and the people here. How come?
Well, I look at it a number of ways. First of all, I got my start in Sherwood Park, And I'm really grateful for the people there. You know, they stuck with me for a long period of time when I was growing as a coach. And then I got to tell you, you know, I didn't play the game, so I had to find a mechanism that I could learn quickly, and that was with Claire and Billy and at the U of A. And, you know, a lot of people don't know this, but I spent a lot of lunch hours watching Claire run practice, and then I spent a lot of post games with Claire and Billy, you know, just learning about the game. And I needed help to transition from not playing and having a feel for what the players were and being able to teach it properly. And Claire taught me that. He was really gracious with his time, and so was Billy, and I was able to watch the team play a lot. And so I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful for what those guys did for me and what the city did for me, and especially Sherwood Park. And I feel like I owe those folks a lot. And so every chance I get to give back, whether it's, you know, I've come in the last 6 years or so and spoken for charities for hockey or for Sports Central. I've come in to, you know, to do charity work and stuff like that. And I feel like that's the least I can do to help out the programs that helped me along the way.
Ken Hitchcock joins us. Ken, you were obviously somebody who was determined, you know, to be the best coach possible. When you put on coaching clinics, you're kind of the Claire Drake now for a lot of young coaches. They want to be able to watch Ken Hitchcock run a practice or pick his brain on that. The game has evolved so much. Do you think it's harder to become the next Ken Hitchcock now, or is it potentially easier because there's more avenues to learn and become more educated as a coach?
I think it's way harder now. Okay. I think to do it on a short-term basis, anybody can do it. I think longevity-wise, it's very difficult because you constantly have to evolve and you constantly have to stay current and you really have to work at your task. You know, I spend so much time in the off season, way more than I did before, learning about my craft and learning about, you know, the age group that I'm working with. And I think if you're not willing to put in the time to get better, I think it really goes by you quick. And I think you see a lot of coaches that become outdated because they're not working at staying current. And I don't just mean current from a technical standpoint. I mean current from a social, psychological standpoint. You really have to work at it because this is a generation that asks a lot of questions. They want to be heard. They want the answers. They want to be listened to. And if you don't have those tools and those mechanisms to do that and you're not willing to adapt, it goes by you quick. And I think when you see a coach that's been a pro coach for more than 5 years, he's working hard at his craft 12 months a year, not just 6 months a year. And you got to really make a commitment to be a coach. I think it's the same thing as being a teacher in today's high schools or universities. The commitment that teachers make now is way bigger than they made 15 years ago. And I think you got to do that as a coach, too, to stay current.
Ken Hitchcock joins us. Hitch, do you text with your players or you still prefer face-to-face communication?
I text. I text a lot. And, you know, I think, you know, I communicate through that or you put words of encouragement through that. But, you know, you're still working hard at giving them their space. But there's all kinds of, you know, the face-to-face is still the best thing. But it's really interesting face-to-face now because I think right now for successful coaches in all sports, and especially when you look at the college guys who have a great pulse of it, they got to be great listeners. And I think that's the big thing in our sport is we got to be really active listeners for our kids to feel like they're getting value for what we're teaching. And I think that the only way you do that is face-to-face. But little words of encouragement or little messages, we go out by email or we go out by text, and we use it a lot.
Hitch, I remember having you on my Coaching 101 a few years ago and asked you how you had changed as a coach, and you felt like you had maybe let off a little bit as far as the intensity on non-game days. You maybe let the guys breathe a little bit more, and that was 2 years ago. In the last 2 years, how have you had to evolve maybe even differently?
Well, I think that's really still one of the most important things today. Like, you know, we didn't play great yesterday. We had some really good moments, but we didn't play great. Today's an off day. I think in previous years I'd be having a meeting or two or stuff like that, but you don't go near the players now. You give them their space.
Yeah.
And I think the hardest thing to do as a coach is to give players space when they need it and knowing when to do it. And that's what I've learned to do is know when to give space and know when to back off and know when to give them some room. And I think it's easy to say, but hard to do.
Yeah.
Because you want to be active in their success, but sometimes you just get in the way. It helps elevate their success by getting space. And I think it's just knowing when to give space. And I think that's why former players are so valuable on staffs. I think any staff that's successful in the National Hockey League has former players who are really current in what the players need and want. And, you know, we use Kirk Muller a lot that way. He's great. He has a great pulse and feel for the players. And we really use him to keep us abreast of what the mood's like so that, you know, that I don't come in and screw it up sometimes.
Now, you mentioned you have to give them space, Ken. What about yourself? Like an off day today, do you immerse yourself in video, or is this where you say, you know what, maybe I need to take a break for a day as well? How do you give yourself a break?
To me, it's not the rest. It's changing the record. A break for me is doing something different other than hockey. You know, whether it's going to a movie or whether it's watching another sport or participating in another sport or going, you know, to do something completely different than hockey, that's the mental break that I need. I've learned over time, as soon as I'm done with the video, as soon as I've seen what I want to see, I turn it off.
Okay.
And rather than watch it like you're watching, I never watch a full game. I get the information I want and then move on. And I use the assistant coaches in a lot of those other aspects of it. But for me, going somewhere different or doing something different other than hockey is really important to stay fresh because you get a different perspective of things. So, you know, today I went with some friends to a club and listened to a speaker this morning talking on leadership and in business. And, you know, I was there for an hour early this morning and it gives you a refreshing break on things and then you're back at work, you know, but to me, I think all coaches in every sport right now, you got to find vehicles that you get away from the game mentally as much physically.
One about your team before I let you go, Colton Parayko, young kid out of St. Albert, who's a massive man at 225. What did you know about him at the draft in 2012, Ken? And then even this season when he came into camp, because he has been one of the most pleasant surprises in the National Hockey League.
Well, you know what? We didn't have him on the team. I mean, I know that's surprising because he's played every game,
yep.
But we didn't have him on the team. We had signed two veteran players, thinking that they were going to be 6 and 7 on our team, and when Edmondson and Parayko came in, they flat beat them out, and then we said, okay, well, let's give them as many exhibition games until they hit the wall. Well, neither one of those guys hit the wall, and especially Colton, he kept getting better and better, and finally he just ended up beating the vet out. He beat Chris Butler out of the job. And then when we started to play him, really until he hit the wall based on the college season, he was outstanding, you know. And then now we're working him through the wall that, you know, in reality he should be writing final exams and it's hockey season over by now.
Yeah.
So he's learning to adapt to our lifestyle. But, my God, this is the tip of the iceberg where Colton's going to be at. I mean, he's going to be a hell of a player. And, you know, he's got recovery speed. He's got quickness for a big man. And he's going to be one of those guys. I think at the end of the night, within 2 years, you're going to see Colton Parayko playing 30 minutes a night. It wouldn't surprise me.
Oh, I was amazed at just how big of a man he is at such a young age, Ken. You see him in the locker room. And one last one for your team. Obviously, kind of reliving the 80s, going into Calgary and Edmonton and giving up 13 goals. That doesn't happen very often. You have so much experience as a head coach. How do you balance on when to know to maybe, you know, ream out your team or maybe say, okay, you know what, we've been through a lot this year. We're still in a very good position. It's two bad games. I think I've got enough leaders that they can readjust it. How do you balance that? Who do you communicate to know when's the time to maybe whip your horses and when's the time to let them lead?
Well, I think we've already done the letting them lead part.
Okay.
I think the whipping comes from the way you – I think the time for speeches is past. There's 10 games left in the season. I think we can get them their attention tomorrow at practice. We're not far off. Believe it or not, the two games that we played, we've had a lot of those games that we've won, and the balance is that we've lost some. You know, there's some fluky shots that went in and some bounces that have gone the other way for us this last two games. But there's a lot of good stuff. But I think you get their attention by the business approach you have at practice. So we're going to have a real business-like approach tomorrow at practice, and I think you're going to see us really get this thing back on track on Saturday night.
Ken, I really appreciate it, and on behalf of all the kids that you and Wilf, from your great idea many years ago, spawned from Hockey Center to Sports Central now, fantastic job, and I know you'll still be a part of it, but big thanks and a good decision to pass on to Todd.
All right, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.